Praise the Lord. Well, I want to say, I don't want this to be a sad time, because we are among friends tonight. You know, a friend is something that you should treasure always. And your pastor and Sister Grissom have been my friend. We have enjoyed their friendship and their fellowship, their sacrifice. You know, the Bible says that a friend in need is a friend indeed. I want you to know that Brother Grissom has truly been my friend. And when you have friends that you will never be poor, you will never be lonely if you have a friend. And I consider everyone that's here tonight to be my friend. And I want to be your friend. But we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And He is here tonight. And I promise not to keep you long. Some of you might not believe that, because I've been known to preach quite lengthy. And I'm trying to do better at that, not preaching quite so long. But we have been very busy, and we want to thank all of those that have helped and those that wanted to help and couldn't. We just want to thank all of you. Amen. For all that you've done and made this transition to be what it is. That we're not leaving. We're just transitioning. We will see you again. So this is not a farewell service. Amen. We're not saying goodbye. But we do want you to remember us in prayer. We are, I believe, going in the will of God, and we're excited about what God has already done in Hobbs, New Mexico, but we're even more excited about what we believe that God is going to do. Amen. And by God's help, there will be another move. Amen. Into a new facility. Because that little church in Hobbs won't hold the revival that I believe that God is going to give. And I believe that this little church in Athens, amen, is also going to see that kind of revival. That this auditorium is not going to be able to hold the revival that God has in store for you. Amen. If you are willing to believe and you're willing to sacrifice, amen, God will give revival like you have never seen before. You have your Bibles tonight. We're going to read from a letter that was written by the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 8. Beginning with verse number 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we pray, God, that you would allow your anointing and your blessing to rest upon this congregation tonight, and upon the messenger that delivers the word of the Lord. God, that you would allow the Holy Ghost, Lord, to bind us together in unity and fellowship and in love. And we give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. To your name and your glory, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to entitle this message tonight, "Oh, what a beautiful fellowship." Oh, what a beautiful fellowship. Jesus prayed for his disciples before his final departure, that they might be one in unity, even as the Son was one in unity with the Father. He said, "Father, I pray that they may be one even as we are one." And the world is able to see Jesus in you and in me through the love and the unity that we manifest toward one another. The fact the Bible tells us that the church is made perfect, or we are made complete in unity. That without unity, that the church is incomplete. The church is not properly equipped. The church is not prepared to do the work that God has commissioned it to do. Even the fact that we have the Holy Ghost is not by itself sufficient. The Bible says that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we must have power. We must have authority. Not our authority, but the authority that is vested in us through the name of Jesus Christ. But even more important than the power of God and the message of salvation, and even all as important as all of that is, if we do not have unity, if we do not have love for one another, that we are in vain working. We are in vain doing the things that God has called us to do. The Bible says that you can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if you don't have love, you're as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And so that as a church, if we would be what God would have us to be, if we should accomplish the mission of preaching the gospel, we must have the unity that the Father had with the Son. That we must love one another even as Jesus Christ loved us. The Bible says that he that saith he loves God and hates his brother is a liar, and the love of God is not in him. That we manifest our love for God by our love for one another. Through loving the church, through loving everyone that is a part of the body of Christ, we show our love toward God. The Bible says, how can you love? How can you love God whom you have not seen? Or how can you love your brother whom you have seen if you cannot love God whom you have not seen? We have got to love God. We have got to put God first in our life. Because if the love of Jesus Christ is not manifest through our love for one another, then our witness is compromised by our selfishness and our self-centeredness and by our envy of one another. We are to love one another. We are to prefer our brother above ourselves. That we are to pray one for another because this is the will of God. That we must prefer our brother and love one another as Christ loved us. In Psalm 133, the Bible says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That God hates those that sow discord. God hates those that divide the body of Christ. God hates someone that causes emulation and strife between brethren, because we are called to be one. We are called to pray together. We are called to live in unity and in fellowship by the Holy Ghost. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's something beautiful about harmony. I don't know about you, but when I listen to an orchestra, I love to listen to the symphony. That when I was young and I was able to go and listen to the orchestra, that there were times that I like to slip away and I like to hear things that are harmonious. You ever get a chance to go and listen to the Dallas Orchestra? That they have a tremendous music hall, the Meyerson, that is made in order to bring out the beauty of harmony. There's something about hearing instruments of music that are in concert, that are harmoniously blended together. That's wonderful. But to hear one note that's out of tune. Oh my, we recently had the piano tuned. And for quite a while there's been a problem with middle C. Because when you would hit that key, you didn't get middle C, you got two. Instead of just one sound, because the hammer was hitting two strings at the same time. And harmony is so beautiful to the sound. But have you ever listened to something that wasn't harmonious? Have you ever listened to some young kid practicing on his instrument for the first time? To endure that sound. Ooh! The screech. When things are out of harmony, oh, how it is so hard. It just stresses the mind. It stresses you because it's not harmonious. It's not melodious. But oh, when a church believes in what it was commissioned to do, when a church understands its purpose, when there's harmony in the body of Christ, amen, that there's going to be a harmonious sound, amen, even when the guitar doesn't hit the right note, even when the saxophone player may not play right on cue, it doesn't really matter. When there's harmony, when there's unity in the body of Christ, amen, because there's something about brethren that dwell together in unity that's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Even noise can be beautiful if it's unto the Lord. You don't have to have the best voice, or you don't have to have the greatest talent to make beautiful music. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy someone that's skilled. I love to hear somebody play a saxophone that really knows how to play a saxophone. Amen. You wouldn't want to hear me play a saxophone. But I enjoy good music. But you know, when it's dedicated to God. Amen. When you know that it comes out of a heart that's filled with the love of God. Amen. That souls might be won into the kingdom of God. It's beautiful in the ears of the Almighty. Why? Because God loves brethren that dwell together in unity. God loves harmony in the body of Christ. Can you say praise the Lord? The Bible says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. It was an anointing. It was an overflow. Oh, I've been in services where there was an overflow of the anointing of God. Amen. Middle C might have been hitting two notes, but it didn't matter because the Holy Ghost was hitting everything right on cue. Amen. The Spirit of God, amen, was moving in such a way and it didn't really matter. Amen. The tambourine might have been playing a little bit loud, but it didn't matter because there was a harmony in the Spirit. Amen. In the hearts and the minds of the people of God. Oh, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's an overflowing like the ointment that ran down from the head. It didn't just stay on the head. You know, when we anoint with oil, this is not oil, but just pretend it is. Amen. That it's not just like a little dab of douya. Well, that might be all right with Brill Cream, but we're not talking about Brill Cream. I know none of these young folks even know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. All these gray hairs, they know what Brill Cream is. Brill Cream, a little dab of douya. Amen. Praise God. But the anointing of God is like an overflow. When there's unity and harmony, it's not just getting a touch. You know, there are some things that will touch you. I've heard messages that touched me. I've heard songs that touched me. Amen. I've been prayed for before when I got a touch. But sometimes when God moves, you get more than just a touch. When there's unity in the body. When there's harmony. When there's love among brethren. Amen. It's like an overflowing of the Spirit of God. It runs down from the head and then it begins to run on the beard. And the Bible says it ran down Aaron's beard and even down to the end of his garment. It's an overflow. I know what an overflowing power of the Holy Ghost that God can do when there is unity. Oh, what a beautiful fellowship. When there's harmony in the body of Christ, there's no limit to what God can do, that God can do more when the heart is in tune with Him. The main thing that we need to be in tune with is the mind and the will and the purpose of God. It's not about the guitar. It's not about, amen, the saxophone or the piano. It's about getting our hearts in tune with the heaven God that created us. Oh, how beautiful. Oh, what a beautiful fellowship. Praise God. It dripped down from the beard to the skirts of his garment. That's quite an anointing. You see, back then, when they anointed people, they didn't just put a little drop. Amen. I don't think we'd get near as many people asking for prayer if we did it like they did it. Amen. How many want to do it the old way? Amen. When they anointed, they just poured a little oil on them. Hallelujah. Praise God. How else did it drip down to their skirts? Praise God. Amen. Isn't that what the Bible said? Amen. But that's the kind of anointing that we're going to have if we're going to have the kind of revival that God wants to give us. We don't want to be limited. Amen. in the body. That we limit the power of God when there are divisions, when there are cliques. Amen. Amen. There ought not be cliques in the body of Christ. There ought not be favorites. Amen. In the body of Christ. Amen. We need to learn to love one another. We need to let people know that we love them. Amen. We love them not just for what we say, but what we do. Amen. We need to manifest the love of God. Oh, that they might be one, even as we are one. That the Father loved the Son so much. Amen. He didn't give him the anointing by measure. Amen. Jesus didn't give the anointing of God by measure. Hallelujah. Oh, in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, He had a baptismal measure of the Spirit of God. Amen. It wasn't just a little measure of God. The Bible said in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. When Jesus spoke, it was God that spoke. Amen. When Jesus moved, it was God that moved. When Jesus performed miracles, it was God that performed miracles. But Jesus said, these things and even greater shall you do because I go to the Father. But you've got to have unity. You've got to love like Jesus loved. You've got to care like Jesus cared. Hallelujah. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Hermon was the highest mountain in the promised land that God gave to Abraham. Mount Hermon is over 9,000 feet, close to 10,000 feet, in the Antelebanon Mountains to the north of the Sea of Galilee. Most of the year, Mount Hermon is covered in snow. Some called Hermon Sirion. It had various names, but it was the great snow-capped mountain to the north of Galilee. It was a landmark. Many times that we find Hermon that it is mentioned, and God blessed Hermon, that God caused the dew to fall upon Hermon, even when the ground around about was dry, that there was dew and rain upon Hermon. And out of that mountain, the mighty cedars of Lebanon grew because the blessings of God were upon the land. I want you to know when you've got the blessings of God upon you, that when it's dry everywhere around you, that you'll receive the blessings of God, that the dew of heaven will cause you to spring up and to cause you to be green and verdant with life because God is a good God. The Bible says unity is like that. Nobody else may be having revival, but you'll have revival. It may be dry other places, but it won't be dry. Amen. You won't get bored in the house of God where there's unity, where there's love, where there is a bond of fellowship between God's people because the blessing of God will be upon a people that love Him and manifest His love to one another. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I pray that they might be one even as we are one. The one thing that Jesus prayed about was unity in the body. If you will follow the leadership of this church, if you'll get behind Pastor Grissom and Sister Grissom, you'll walk in the harmony that God has given for you to walk in. There's no limit to what God can do. There's no limiting God. But if you want to enjoy the blessings, then you've got to love one another like Jesus loved. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Oh, hallelujah. God will bless those that are willing to put Him first. If you'll walk in unity, Oh, what a beautiful fellowship. The Bible says, by this shall men know that you're my disciples indeed, because you show love one to another. But people in this city, they're not looking to see the church that's got the most money. They're not looking to see the church that's got the most talent. The world is not looking to see who dresses the best. Amen. The church is not meant to be a fashion show. The world is not, they're not looking to hear who has the greatest ability. There's some great orators that do not know the truth that you and I know. I've heard a lot of great preachers that were not anointed in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The world's not interested in the best. They're not interested in who's got the biggest. They're not interested in who's got the most talent. But one thing that will get their attention is the church that loves like Jesus loved. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If you'll lift up Jesus, if you'll manifest the love of God, if you'll walk in unity, if you'll have fellowship one with another, that there is no limit to what God can do. Hallelujah. Would you stand tonight? I promise not to keep you long. Hallelujah. If you will walk as Jesus commanded you to walk, if you will love like Jesus commanded you to love, if you will have pure fellowship one with another, as Christ would have you to have fellowship one with another, there's no telling what great things God will do. This is not a farewell service. I'm not saying goodbye. Amen. I'm saying, let's follow Jesus. Let's go together. Together, let's go to the mountain. Together, let's have revival. When you have revival, amen, a little bit of me will be here rejoicing with you. Amen. When you have souls being baptized like you did last night. Amen. Some of you didn't know, but we had a baptism last night. Amen. It seemed like when we came here almost 3 years ago, that there were baptisms seemed like coming and going, that God was moving in a great way. And oh, it's good to see that nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. If anything is any different, it looks like there's a lot more people here tonight than there was 3 years ago. I want you to look around tonight. I want you to look and see all those that are here tonight. Amen. On a Wednesday night, if anything has changed, things have just got better. Amen. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be anticipating. Amen. To hear good things. Amen. Don't disappoint me. Because a good report makes the bones fat. And I need to get a little fatter. Hallelujah. I have gained a little bit since I've been in Athens. 28 pounds later. Amen. God's telling us, I've got one more church for you to pastor. Praise the Lord. Amen. Make my bones fat. I want to hear good reports. And I want you to pray that God will give us revival. Amen. We want to see, amen, a great mighty move of the Holy Ghost in New Mexico. And they need revival. Amen. I believe that we all need revival because the Lord's coming is at hand. Jesus is coming. So this is not farewell, because I'll see you soon on the streets of glory. Even if I never see any of you again, and there's a possibility that some of you will go on to be with the Lord before I'll get to see you again. But if we never get to see one another on this side, I'll see you in heaven. And I don't believe it's very long. I've got a longing to go. I believe He's coming again. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is coming back. Let's have revival until He comes. God bless you.
Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me, 'cause it makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me, and it will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good enough for me. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody.